Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Tess. We're already more than halfway down, Tess Omud Aleph. We're going to start at the Mishnah, a little bit more than halfway down. We're learning today, Le'ilui Nishmas, Maurice Lavor, Moshe Aaron Ben Yehuda Halevi. All the shows we learn first and never leave from our learning. Okay, we pick up at the Mishnah, Tess Omud Aleph. Hamevi get mibedina sayam, ben yochel lomar b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechta. We've had this Mishnah on Daf Dalet already, so this is all Chazor at the beginning of the shiur today. The person is bringing a get from outside Eretz Yisrael for the Venina Sayam, brings it to Eretz Yisrael. So as we've already learned quite a number of times in this Masechta, the person who's the Shaliach has to say b'fonei nechtam in order to prevent the error of the Baal. Now, what happens if he's unable to do so? Eino yochol lomar. He can't say this. We'll explain why he can't. He was originally competent, as we've already learned, and the Gemara will tell us, and then something happened to him that he was nishtateach, he was no longer capable of saying it. So, in this situation, im yeshalov eidim yiskayim b'chosmav. So, this doesn't invalidate the get, but it wouldn't prevent the Baal from being ma'ari. And therefore, if you have eidim that can authenticate the get, so then you can be miskayim the get with the eidim. Now, echod gitei noshim, the same halach applies to a get for noshim, which we said, the vernacular usage of get, we said this also many times, means a get for noshim. But here, it's telling us that this is true, whether it's a get for noshim, the echod shichrurei avodim. Same halach would apply with a get, which is also known as shichrur avodim, a get for shichrur avodim, so this would apply as well. This same dinam apply, shavu lemolchum eviv. This din that you have to say b'fonei nechtam, applies to both a get for a woman and a get for the freeing of a slave. Shichur avodim. Now, v'zu achas min hadrochim sheshovu gite noshim l'shichuri avodim. This is one of several. The Gemara will give us many more where the halachas of a get for a woman and the get for shichuri avodim are the same. The same dinim apply to them as opposed to other shtaros, other documents where those same rules do not apply. The Gemara will explain this in more detail. Gemara starts off and asks the obvious question, what does it mean, my eino yochel lomar? What does it mean that the person is unable to say b'fonei nechta b'fonei nechta? Ilei milcheirish, you're telling me that the person cannot speak and cannot hear and halachically, therefore, is not considered mentally competent. So, cheirish bar asuye gitohu is such a cheirish capable of bringing a get? Can he serve as a shaliach? After all, but none. We learned in the Mishnah, we learned it later in the Masechta, on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, Hakok Sheir Lovi is a get. Anybody is technically allowed to go and bring a get, with the exception of the following classical three people, Chutz Michei Rishot of a Katan. These three are not halachically considered competent in the eyes of halacha, and therefore are incapable of acting as a shliach for the bringing of a get. Again, the Cheirish is a person who cannot hear and cannot speak, and under normal circumstances in the times of the Gemara was not considered mentally competent. Shot is a person who Nebuch is crazy. He's not capable of controlling his actions. The Gemara defines elsewhere, he does various things that determine that he is a shota and a katan. No matter how bright he is, if he's under the age of bar mitzvah, he's not allowed to go and bring a get. So how can you tell us in the Mishnah that this person is einu yochel lomar b'fonei nechtam, when in fact he wouldn't be allowed to be a shliach if that were the case? So as we've already answered before, and now we see it inside here now, Amar Yosef, Yosef tells us, we're dealing here, hochel mayaskinan kegon, with the following scenario, shenisno lo kishupikah, the get was given to him while he was a fully competent person. However, now he's arrived over here, Nebuch, he gets a stroke, Nebuch, something happens to him, below his pik lomar, b'fonei nechtam, ad shenischarish. And unfortunately, at this point in time, he becomes incompetent. So he was competent halachically to bring the get. And now, as he's about to say, before nechtam, so Nebuch, he gets a stroke, something happens to him, he's incapable at this moment of saying it, and therefore now he's become a cheirish. Cheirish again here would be an all-inclusive term for he's incapable of having das at this point in time. Something happened to him medically, traumatically, whatever, and he's incapable now of saying it. So the bringing of the get was valid. Now he just can't say b'fonei nechtam, and therefore, if you authenticate the get with two witnesses, so then the get's a valid get still. Okay, that was all Chazorah, really. Now we start discussing the Mishnah a little bit more. Echad gitei noshim, the echad shichrurei avodim. The Mishnah is quoted, where we said that this halach applies for both types of gitin over here, the get for a woman and the get for shichrurei avodim, to go and free a slave. When you have an Eved Knani, under certain circumstances, if you free him, you have to, of course, write a get shichrur. Now, Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa, that there are other things as well, where Gitei Noshim and Shichrure Avodim are similar. So the Braisa tells us, Bishlosha Drochim, in three ways, Shavu, the rabbis made equivalent, Gitei Noshim Lishichrure Avodim. They made comparable in three ways these two types of gittim, as opposed to other documents. What are the three ways? Number one, Shavu L'moluch L'mevi. Our Mishnah, we said, Bifonei Nechtav, so that din applies to both Gitei Noshim and Shichrurei Avodim. That's number one, very simple, straightforward, you don't have to explain that any further. Number two, V'chol get sheyesh olav eid kusi pasul. Any get that has written in it one of the witnesses being a kusi, so that get is not a good get. Who are the kusim? We mentioned many times as well, albeit not recently. The kusim were a people that came from a place called Kuta. And when Sancheirib conquered them, as was his style, he transposed the people from that population and moved them someplace else so they would be less likely to rebel. And he moved the people who came originally from Kuta to the Shomron, to the area of Eretz Yisrael that was taken over from the 10 tribes. So he moved them into the Shomron. And these kusim originally were goyim. However, lions attacked them, and they said, maybe the god of this land doesn't like the fact that we don't observe him and worship him. So therefore, they converted. And the question is, they were gerei arayos with an aleph, and the question was that a valid conversion or not, because they still worship the Avodah Zarah. And in some ways, the Kutim were medaktic in certain dinim, but in general, they were not medaktic in all of the dinim. So the rabbis imposed and said that any aid kutsi is going to make the get puzzle, but that's in regards to other gitin, other documents. But not true. Chutz migitei noshim vishichrurei avodim. They allowed a kusi get on a get for a woman or shichrur avodim, as opposed to they didn't allow it on a shtar of a financial document, a loan document. And the reason for this, Gemara will explain in tomorrow's shir in more detail, but basically, if this was an invalid get, so then this woman, this slave, will not have another opportunity to have this get take effect, and therefore they'll remain an aguna possibly, or they'll remain in a limbo state. Are they an eved? Are they no longer an eved? And therefore, the rabbi said that we'll accept only for Gitei Noshim and Shichrurei Avodim a get that has a kusi signed upon it. But for financial matters, we will not accept them. Now, that's number two. And number three is V'chol Hashtoros, and we turn to Tess Amud Beis, any document that comes up in a Goyish court, Ha'olim V'Arkos Shel Ovdei Kochavim. Now, you're not allowed to go to a Goyish court, but in a situation where they went to a Goyish court for whatever the reason, Beheter or not Beheter, as Rashi says, Shenasu Hashtoros Ayidei Beis Din Shel Ovdei Kochavim, a document that comes from a Goyish court, so it's signed, sealed, and certified by the Goyish court, so Afa Pishachos Mayen Ovdei Kochavim, even though the signatories on this document from the Goyish courts are Goyim, the witnesses are Goyim, Ksherin. We accept this. Why? Because Rashi tells us, in Dira Masuk Ksherin, Dina Mahusa Dina. Dina the Mahusa Dina is a very important concept in Halacha that says under certain situations when the laws are fair, they're not anti-Semitic, they're not made against the Jews, they of course everybody, and they're fair laws, so then we are obligated to follow Dina Mahusa Dina, unless of course it contradicts the Torah. They make a law that says nobody's allowed to learn Torah, so then of course we don't follow such laws. But if they make a law that everybody has to pay taxes, and the taxes are fair, they're not specifically discriminatory against the Jews, and everybody has to pay certain taxes, so then Dino de Machusadina, you have to go pay those. So if the Goyisha courts come out with a document that says that Reuven lent Shimon money, and even though there are Goyisha signatories on the document, there aren't Jewish witnesses, so in this situation, these documents are Olim Berakoshel, Ovdei Kochavim, Afbisho Chosmeim, Ovdei Kochavim, Ksherim. Such financial documents are considered valid because of the din of Dina de Machusadina. And as Rashi again points out, even though they're both the litigants to the party are the purchaser and the seller are Jewish people. And even though the witnesses are Goyim and it was through the Goyish courts, after the fact, you're not allowed to do this L'chad Chila, but after the fact, that document is a valid document, could be used to collect upon in a Jewish court, with the two major exceptions. Chutz Migitei Noshim V'Shichrur Avodim. This is not going to be acceptable if the Goyish courts made a divorce, if the Goyish courts made a freeing of a slave, so those documents are worthless. As Rashi says, Chutz Migitei Noshim, the Lav B'nei Krisis, because they aren't people that can be involved in marriage. The marriage of goyim is not the marriage of Jews, and therefore they can't be involved at all in our marriage documents or in our divorce documents. The lav de'krisis ninu, and therefore hoa v'lo shaychei b'torahs gittin v'kiddushin. Since goyim by definition don't have the same marriage and divorce rules as we do, there is marriage and divorce by goyim, but it's totally different than marriage and divorce by yidden, and therefore we can't accept any document that comes from their courts dealing with marriage and kiddushin. However, aval adinim nitzdavu bnei noach, but Rashi tells us that goyim are obligated. It's one of the zayin mitzvahs bnei noach, is that they should have dinim. I mentioned many times, it's a very cute mnemonic that has to remember what the zayin mitzvahs bnei noach are. So you have aleph is evi min achai, beis is birchas Hashem, gimel is gezel, dalet is dinim, that they have an obligation to set up a fair court system. Hey is hariga, we'll go to zayin, zayin is znus, and vav is their avodah zorah, and they have an obligation that they have to go and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not allowed to worship idols. In any event, so dinim, dalet, is one of the zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach, and therefore they are obligated in dinim, and therefore they are allowed to have documents that are financial documents in the courts that we would go and trust, because they are obligated in dinim, as opposed to they aren't obligated in Torah's gittin and kedushin like a Jew. And similar, v'chein shichru avodim, the b'chol pesula d'araisa shava shichru leget isha the gamrina law. Rashi tells us, we learn through Xeri Shava of law, that the dinim that are applicable by Torah's gittin and kedushin are also applicable by shichrure avodim. So therefore, the normal documents that come out of a secular court, even though they're signed upon by secular non-Jewish witnesses, and their litigants are both Jewish people, are valid with the two exceptions of Gitei Noshim and Shechuri Avadim. This is the third and final din where we find the laws are similar between Gitei Noshim and Shechuri Avadim. Rav Meir adds a fourth reason. Rav Meir tells us, Uchid Ravi Meir Biarba. He adds, besides these three, he adds a fourth similarity between Gitei Noshim and Shechuru Avodim that the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, don't agree with. What is this din of Rav Meir? Ha'omer, if a man says, Tain get zelishti, a man says to the Shliach, go give this get to my wife. Or he says, go give this shtar Shechurur zel abdi, go give this document freeing my slave to my slave. Rav Meir says, if he wishes to retract his doing so before the person, the wife, or the eved actually gets the get into their possession, he has the right to do so. Now, the Chachamim disagree with that. We'll see in a moment they partially disagree with that. But Rav Meir says, both for the get to the wife and the get for the shichur of the eved, if the owner retracts the shlichus before the wife or the Eved Kanani get their respective document, so then the retraction is valid and the wife or the Eved never received their document. Rashi explains, Dibar Masu Lachso Bishneim, Kodem Shinesono L'Shliach, before the husband gave it to the Shliach for the document to divorce his wife, or before the husband gave it to the Shliach for the document to free his slave, he's allowed to be Yachso. Rashi says, Dikisov Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds, Hefsed v'chov hein li'oson shenishlchu lohen. Rav Meir says that there is a disadvantage to the wife being divorced, obviously, and there's a disadvantage to the slave becoming free. Now, we'll have to explain that in a moment, because the Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim say that no, since it's an absolute zuchus for this slave to be freed, so the Shaliach is, so to say, zochim li'odim shelo b'fanav. So the minute the shliach gets it, he acquires it, even though he had no authorization to do so, he immediately acquires it on behalf of the eved. So the Chachamim say that here there's a difference between a get to a wife and a get shichur avodim, because the minute the shliach gets it, he's mezakeh the freedom on behalf of the eved kanani. And the eved kanani immediately becomes a free person, and therefore the owner cannot retract. As opposed to a wife, everybody, the Chacham and certainly Rav Meir, they say that it's definitely Chavin Li'odim. This wife would be better off being married in general, and therefore this is not as chusver. So if she assigned a shliach to go and be makabel to get on her behalf, so then the get can accept it. But without her assigning a shliach, you can't say that the shliach is doing her a favor. And therefore, under normal circumstances, the shliach is not makabel to get on her behalf. He's just delivering it to her. And when she's makabel it, that's when she's divorced. And therefore, if the husband changes his mind, he's allowed to retract the shlichus. And both Rav Meir and the Chachamim, they agree that in regards to the wife, the husband can retract. As Rashi again explains, Ein chavim liodim ela b'fanav. You can't go and do something that is negative to a person unless he accepts it, unless he is there. Kolomar, ein adam nasa shaliach liodim lios nifseid al yodo. I can't go and say, well, I'm going to accept this subpoena on your behalf. I'm going to go and accept this IOU on your behalf when it's negative to you. It hurts you. And therefore, elu kena sohu shliach, unless that person made me the shliach to go and accept it. Because then I become as if he was there. Now, the Rabbanon pligi ale, the Rav Meir b'masnisin. The Rabbanon argue with the Rav Meir, the Amre, and they say, the b'shichrur ein yochol lachso, because by the Eved, it's not chavin lo, it's zochin lo. Mishanim saliyad zeh, as soon as the shaliach gets it, he acquires the freedom on behalf of the Eved, because it's 100% good for him to be freed. V'yaf al pi shalo aso Eved shaliach, even though the Eved never made him a shaliach, Mishum de Kasabi, the Chacham Mom, Zhusu Lievit, Shiotse Mitachas Rabo, Lecheris. The Zachin Loliodim, Shalobophonim, because the Chacham hold that it's a Zhusu Lievit to be freed, whereas Rav Meir holds it's not. Whereas the Chacham's opinion is Danan Sahadi, the Nihole, the Nehevehai Shlucho Lohochi. And we, according to the Rabbanon, according to the Chachamim, they definitely say he's doing his Zhusu. Rav Meir's opinion is that it's not his Zhusu for him, because he no longer is supported by the master. He no longer is allowed to have a shiksa as his wife, and therefore it's not automatically considered a zuchus for him in order to go and have the shaliach immediately and automatically accept the get on his behalf. And tomorrow we'll discuss this a little bit more later on, but that basically is why Rav Meir holds that there's a fourth example where Gitei Noshim and Gitei Shichrur Avodim are the same in regards to whether the Baal can retract. According to Rav Meir, the din is the same. The husband can retract with the get to his wife as long as it hasn't been received by her, and the owner of the slave can retract the document, shichur avadim, unless the slave actually received it, not when the shaliach got it. And that is the fourth example, according to Rav Meir, where gitei noshim and gitei shichur avadim are the same. Now the Gemara says, Bishlomo l'Rabbanon, according to the Chachamim, we understand, Minyana, why did the Brisa say there are three things? So according to the Chachamim, we understand why it said three things, Limute, Hod Rebbeit, to tell us that there's three and not four. So we understand why the Chachamim and the Brisa, Tana Rabbanon, when the Brisa started off, it said, Bishlosha drachim, Shavu Gitei Noshim, L'Shichur Avodah. Oh, we understand why the Chachamim said it had to say three. But according to Rebbeit, well, Rebbeit, Minyana, Limute, Mai, why would Rebbeit say that it had to give us a number? Because he holds that there's a fourth one. Okay, so fine. So him there's fourth, but why does it tell us four? We can count. So Gemara says, because even Rav Meir says there's another opinion that he doesn't agree with, and that is the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And what is that? Lemutei hod d'tanya. That comes to exclude the following opinion that Rav Meir says the dinim of a get for a woman and the get for shichur avadim are not the same din. Lemutei hod d'tanya. We learn the following brisa. The brisa tells us, Edim She'ein yodim lachtom. If you have witnesses that are illiterate and they do not know how to sign their names, no, but they're going to be the signatories on this document, because as Rashi points out, the husband may be going l'medina sayam and he wants to give his wife a get before he goes away in case he doesn't come back, or so she shouldn't be in aguna, or because let's say he's sick, he's dying, and he doesn't want his wife to full yibum, so he wants to give her a get. And if you don't give the get right now, there'll be no other way to give the get, because the guy's either going away or he's going to die. So these Edom are the only witnesses around, but they're illiterate. They don't know how to sign the name. So what do you do in that situation? Edom, she'ein yodim lachtom, when witnesses do not know how to sign the name, how do you have them sign on the document? So the Gemara says, mekarin lohem niyar chalok, umimalin es hakroyim dio. What you do is, you take the parchment that they're going to have the document written on, and the way Rashi understands this is, mekarin lohem niyar chalok, misartin, you go and etch out into the parchment, virosh misakin elaniyah, you cut off in with a knife into the document, es shemos ha'edim, the names of the witnesses, and then these witnesses come, ubar ne'edim umalin es hakroyim dio, and they fill in the etched out areas with ink, and in this situation, they have signed their name, even though they don't know how to sign the name. If I understand Tosfos correctly, it's a slightly different understanding. Here's something like a stencil. He brings down that they would basically have Rabbeinu Reb Chananel brings in the middle of the Tosfos Makar, and he says, Pirushalokh Niyacholok, they would take this blank piece of paper, Umakarin Olov Shemos Ha'edim, the Eber Le'Eber, and they would cut through and through the names of the Edim on this piece of paper, Umesimen also Al Klav Shaget Kosovo, and they would put this now stencil, this cutout area over the document that they're supposed to sign on, Uboim Edim Umalin Esakroim Dio, and they basically fill in the space on the stencil that was cut out, and that will then, when you remove the stencil, their signatures will be on the bottom of this document. Okay, so that's the din. The Brisa continues. So the Edim Shein Yodim Lachto Mekarlem Nir Chalok Umamalin Esakrom Do, and you fill in the ink in the etched out area or through the stencil. That's what the Tanakhama says, and there is no distinction according to this Tanakhama between Gitei Noshim and Gitei Shichror Avodim. And along comes Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, B'medvar Mamurim, he disagrees with the Tanakhama that there's no distinction. B'medvar Mamurim, B'gitei Noshim, he only allows this for Gitei Noshim. Avo Shechruri Avodim, U'sha'ar Kol Shtaros, but in regards to documents freeing a slave, or for other documents, Im Yodim Likros V'lachtom Chosmin, V'imlav En Chosmin. He says you can't do this for other types of documents. If they know how to read the document and sign on the document, they sign. And if not, then they're not allowed to sign on such a document. There's no pressure to have these witnesses sign. By the get, as Rashi points out, you better go and do this. Begite noshim mishum takonas agunos, as we said. Shema yirtza zeh hamagarish lefarish bayam, because the husband is going on a business trip and he doesn't want to leave his wife as possible aguna. They didn't come back all the time from their business trips, and he doesn't want his wife to not know. Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? So he'll divorce her. He's a Yisrael. He'll remarry it when he comes back. Oh, mesukan, or he's a sick person. And shirot shalotit skalti liyom, the husband doesn't want his wife to be left in Yibam. His brother lives far away. His brother's crazy. His brother is not a good person to marry her. So therefore, he says, I'll divorce you now so you don't fall in Yibam. So in these situations, there's a pressure to use these not ideal witnesses who don't know how to read and don't know how to sign the name. But in Shichur Avodim, no, if he doesn't get Meshuchur right now, so he'll get Meshuchur some other time. There's no rush. Now, the Tanakhama holds that there is a rush. And therefore, the Tanakhama equates over here Gitei Noshim and Gitei Shechruri Avadim. He says there is a rush because otherwise this Eved is again, he's not going to be a free person. And if you don't free him right now, then who knows when he'll ever be freed. And it's a big zuchus. Again, Rashi tells us over here, it's a beautiful idea. It says it's a big zuchus for a person not to be a guy, for him to go and become a yid and be mechuyev mitzvos and to have all the unbelievable things that a yid has. So that's a big zechus for this Eved. And therefore, if you can't do this right now, you may not have had a chance to do it. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds that we also allow such an illiterate witness for Gitei Shechruri Avodim. And therefore, the Tanakhama would say this is the fifth example where Gitei Shechruri Avodim and Gitei Noshim are the same. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and Rav Meir would say that's why he had to tell us that there were 3/4 cases where they're the same, because he disagrees with the Tanakhama. In this case, he holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel. By the way, the Gemara says, why did you tell us over here, Im Yodim Likros V'lachtom? Who was talking about reading? Kiriya Man Dekar Shmei. Who was mentioning anything about reading the get? We're talking about signing the get. Why did you say, Im Yodim Likros V'lachtom Chosman? Where did that come from? So Gemara says, yeah, you're right. The Brisa is missing a couple of words. Kisur Metzvah V'achitani. You're missing the following words. Edim She'en Yodim Likros. If the witnesses don't know how to read the document, so then we're allowed to read it for them. Korim Lifnehem. And then the Chosman, they would be allowed to go and sign. They don't have to independently have knowledge of what the get says. If somebody reads it to them, that is sufficient. However, the She'en Yodim Lachtom, if they don't know how to sign it, so that's a problem, but therefore, Mekarim Lehem, therefore we do, like Rashi, or like the Rabbeinu Chananel said, that you go and etch out into the document, or you make a stencil, and then they fill in the etched out area, or through the stencil, they fill in, and they sign their names in that fashion. So this is, according to the Chachamim, the fifth, and according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not, but according to Chachamim, this is why there would be 5 things that they were similar to, and Rav Meir had to say, no, there's only 4, and that's why there was a number according to Rav Meir. Okay, now the Gemara says, and that's it? These are the only 3, 4, or 5, depending on who you hold like? Vesuleka, there aren't any other similarities between the Get Noshim and the Get Shechruri Avodim? Va'ika, what about the following? There's a mission that we're going to have on Daf Yud Gimel. It says over there, Ha'omer, Tnu Get Zeli Ishti, or Ushtar Shechur Zeli Avdi, the person who is giving a get to his wife, he says to the shliach, give this to my wife, or he says, give this get shichra to my eved, umeis, and then he dies before it got into their hands. According to Rav Meir, so it's no problem, because he says the shaliach didn't acquire it on behalf of the eved. So Rav Meir certainly has no problem. What about the chum, who say as soon as the get comes into the hands of the shaliach, it automatically becomes acquired by him, so it hasn't yet reached the hands of the shliach, according to the Chacham. In any event, let's continue reading the Mishnah again. So it says, Omer tnu get zeh l'ishti, ushtar shichur zeh l'avdi, umeis, and the person dies before it was acquired by the wife or by the eved. Lo yitnu li'acha misa. In both situations, you're not allowed to give it after misa, as opposed to other documents where if the person said, tenu mona leploni umeis, if the person was a shchiv meira, and he said, I want you to give $100 to so-and-so, and we have the famous rule, divrei shchiv meira kiksuvim umesurim dami, so we consider that as if it's given. Rashi reminds us, the reason for that is divrei shchiv meira kiksuvim umesurim dami, the Tikkun Rabbanon, the rabbis arranged over here the following takana, because if you don't go and calm this person down and say, yes, we're going to give the $100 to so-and-so, you say, oh, the money, we're going to give it to him, don't worry, Shema Titarif Daito Olav Bechoyo, he's going to be very upset, hey, you better give it to him now, I don't want to go to my death without paying back my debt, and he's going to get all upset, and Chas v'Shalom could die a second earlier. And Loya Muftach, she kind of dvar. But if he knows that you're going to fulfill his words no matter what, so then he'll be at peace and it won't cause his death to be a little bit earlier. So if he says, as a Shivira, I want you to give $100 to Reuven, so then even though he dies before a shtar is written or before the money is given to Reuven, you give it anyway. Yitnu li'acha misa. So here you have another clear difference between gittim of a woman and shichur avadim, which you don't give after death, lo yitnu li'acha misa, and a regular financial document, yitnu li'acha misa, that you do give after death. So why wasn't this listed as well? So Gemara says, no, we only listed previously kiktani milsa delesi bishtaris. We only listed things that are related to gittim, which are gittei noshim and gittei shichur avadim, but we didn't include milsa deisei b'shtaris loktani. But we didn't include something that could be applicable to a shtar as well, as we see from the following: the shalach Ravin mishmei the Rabbi Avoh. Ravin had sent in the name of Rabbi Avoh. Hevu yodim sheshalach Rabbi Elazar legola mishum Rabbeinu. He said that it was well known that Rabbi Elazar had sent a message to Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he said as follows. Shchiv Meira Sha'amar, if the Shchiv Meira said on his deathbed, Kisvu Usnu Mana Leploni, he didn't say just give the money Tnu Mana Leploni. He said Kisvu. In other words, I don't want to use the rules of Shchiv Meira. I want to use the normal rules of giving over money. Here's the document. You give it to Reuven, and then he can collect with this document. Kisvu, write a document that I owe him money, and then Utnu, give it to him. Mana Leploni, that I owe Reuven mana. Then, in that situation, in all three of the cases, with the get of a woman, the get of Shichur Avadim, or the money document, the get of a shtar, umeis, and the guy dies before it comes into the possession of the woman, or of the get Shichur Avadim, comes into the possession of the eved, or the document comes into the hands of Reuven, that the person who was dying owes him $100, ain kosvin v'nosin. Here you also don't write down the words of the Shchiv Meira and give the money to Reuven. If he had just said tenu mana leploni, we would give him the money. But here he didn't say tenu. He said kisvu utenu. Shema lo garma laknosu el b'shtar, because he only wanted to give it to him, the money via the shtar. And here too, there is no shtar after misa. So therefore, this isn't a din that isn't applicable across the board. It's we only listed dinim that are just by gittim of noshim and shichur avadim, but don't apply to other shtaros. Here, this din applies to all other shtaros as well, and therefore it wasn't listed. So this does apply to gittim shichur avadim and gittim noshim, but it also applies to other gittim, other documents, and therefore it's not listed here. Mara says, okay, there's another one. V'ika lishma. What about lishma? The fact that a get has to be written lishma. The famous machlokes we have between Rabbah and Rabbah. So, bishlama l'rabbah, we understand why we don't mention specifically that a get has to be written lishma, both for gitei noshim and gitei shichur avadim, because it's already been said, bishlama l'rabbah, hainu moluch u'mevi. That's what We have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. So therefore, that's already been said. So it was included amongst the differences between gitei noshim and gitei shichur avadim versus all other shtaros. However, that's haynu molechu maybe, but elul rava. Kasha, we got a problem because Rava says that the whole reason is because Lefisha ain Eidim Mitzurim Lekaimo. So that should be listed as a separate entity. So why is it not? So Kasha number one. Furthermore, Kasha number two, Vesu, even Bein L'Rabba, Bein L'Rabba, everybody, whether you're holding like Rabba or you're holding like Rava, there's another example that's different between Gitei Noshim and Shechurei Avodim and all other types of Shtaros, or Ikum Mechubar, that both a get that is given from a man to his wife, or a get that's given from the owner to his Eved Kenani to free him, both of them can't have anything in between the signing of the get, or some say the writing of the get, and the giving of it. In other words, it can't be written on something that's attached to the ground, because then you won't have the kosav, the nosan. You'll have something else in between. And the din is that both these types of gittin, gittin noshim, gittin shichur avadim, you have to have it not mechuber. It has to be talush when you're signing it or writing it. It has to already be uprooted from the ground. So the papyrus can't be attached still to the ground. It has to be uprooted from the ground. Then you sign it, at least. Some say write it and sign it. And then you give it. There can't be anything in between. But other documents, a financial document, there's no problem. So why isn't this, Bein L'Rabba, Bein L'Rava, why isn't this another reason, a difference between Gitei Noshim and Shechurei Avodim and all other types of documents? So Gemara answers, no. When we list in the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, there are three things. Kikitani, only Psula Durabbanan. We only listed things that are possible mid the Rabbanan. They would be good mid the Raisa, but the rabbis made them possible. The Raisa looked Tani. We didn't list things that are the Raisa. So now we go back and look at the Braisa. The Braisa had said on the bottom of Tesaman Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, Bishlosha Drachim, Shavu Giti Noshim Shikur Rabbanan. Number one, Shavu Lemoluchu Maybe. Oh, that's a din the Rabbanan. The rabbis instituted that you should say, Befani nechtav, befani nechtav. Ah, so that we understand the din rabbanan. Number two, b'chol get sheyesh lov eid kusi pasul, chutz b'gitei noshim shichur avadim. Midar raisa, they technically would be good. And the rabbis instituted that they wouldn't be good by other documents, and they allowed them to still be good on the raisa level, gitei noshim and shichur avadim. Fine, that's also a din the rabbanan. But the third one, b'chol hashtaros, that were written in the arkos of the Ovdei Kochavim, that's what our Gemara tells us right now, that one, arkos of the Kochavim, the psula d'oraisu, that is a psula d'oraisa, and yet it's listed in the Braisa. How come if you're only listing things in the Braisa, the Midr Rabbanon, why was that listed in the Braisa? After all, the gittim of a husband and the shtar of Shechurei Avodim, so these are dinim d'oraisa. The woman is married until she gets her get. The eved is an eved kenani until he gets his get shechura. Both of them retain their status on a d'oraisa level until the woman gets a valid get or the eved gets a valid get shechura. So here, it's on a d'oraisa level, and nevertheless, the braisa wrote it, so that slugs up your whole territory. So we're only talking about dinim d'rabbanan. So where it says, no, we're dealing over here, be'edim esira karsi, uch Rabbi Elazar, de'amar edim esira karsi. We're dealing over here with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, which we already mentioned early in the Masechta. We'll have it still much more in the Masechta. Rabbi Elazar holds that the witnesses that are critical for a get are not the ones that are written in the shtar. You technically don't need to write witnesses in the shtar. A get doesn't need to have edim signing it. You only need the edim to witness it. Edim misira karse. And therefore, the edim who give the get, they have to be kosher edim. But, midaraisa, if you had edim that were not kosher edim, a guy written into the get, technically, it's still good on a deraisa level. The rabbis came along and said, no, we don't allow such gittin to have a witness that is a guy. But on a deraisa level would be good. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Eide Mesira Karsi, because the ones who write in the get aren't effectuating the get. The rabbis instituted that they should write in the get for various reasons. And therefore, midaraisa, since that wasn't necessary, even if a guy signed on the get, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Midarabbanan, the rabbi said no good. And therefore, this is another example of midarabbanan. The opinion of Rabbi Meir is the edim inside the get, edim chasim karsi, the ones who sign in the get, that's the critical fact according to Rabbi Meir. So this goes according to Rabbi Elazar that says edim mesira karsi. More questions. Says, wait a second. Keep on reading. The braisa that we have today is going to be continued in tomorrow's share. And it's going to say over there, v'ha mikdani sefer, and daf yud amud beis is going to say that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with this opinion. Rabbi Shimon omer, af eluk sherim. He says, even a document that comes from a goyish court is valid by Gittin and by Shichur Avadim, even though it was signed by Goyish witnesses. And the Gemara is going to say, the Amar Reb Zeira, that is the opinion, this opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Yared Rabbi Shimon, L'shitasu Shal Rabbi Elazar. The reason why Rabbi Shimon says it's good on a deraisa level is because he holds the Amar Edi Masira Karzi, like Rabbi Elazar. That implies that if Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Ede Mesira Karsi, Michlal, the Tanakama, the one, the Tana of our Brisa today, the Tanakama, Sovalo, he doesn't hold like that. Because tomorrow we're going to say that Rabbi Shimon holds like that. The implication is that our Tanakama doesn't hold like that. And therefore, it's also on a Daraisa level, according to our Tanakama, not on the Rabbana level. And that slugs up our answer that we're only dealing with Dinim Dirabana and not Daraisa. So we turn to Yud, Amud Aleph, and we say no. Everybody agrees, in fact, that Edi Mesira Karsi, and they both hold, the Tanakama, as well as Rabbi Shimon, both hold like Rabbi Elazar. So what are they arguing about? Ika Benayu Shemos Mufalkim. Oh, they're arguing about on names that are clearly Goyish name. You have the name Chris. One of the witnesses is Chris, and he signed on the document. And that's the machlokas between the Tanakama in today's Braisa, and the conclusion of the Braisa that we'll see Rabbi Shimon tomorrow. And look at the top, Rashi explains it clearly. Ike b'nayu, Shemos Muvhokim. So, Klomar, what he's telling us is, the Tanakama, our Tanakama from today's year, b'shitase de Rabbi Elazar Koi. He also holds Edi Mesira Karsi. Umi derabbanu de paslinon. And it's only possible on a derabbanan basis. On a deraisa level, it would be perfectly good, even though Chris had signed on it. Because, what's his concern? Why did the rabbis ask with me derabbanan? Because Dilma Osi Lemismach Achosmin Ulemosro Bifneim. Because guess what? If Chris signed on it, Chris may come and deliver it. Now, Chris can't be the Shliach. He can't be the Ede Mesira. Once he signed on it, however, you may say, well, if he signed on it, he can also be the Ede Mesira. And therefore, the rabbis, according to our Tanakhama, who goes there, don't let him sign on it. But it's only me, the Rabbanon. Don't let him sign on it because he may come to deliver it. And along comes Rav Shimon in tomorrow's Shia. He disagrees with that. The also Rav Shimon Lemeimar. Im Shemos move Hakim the Obde Kochov name. If it's a name like Christopher, so that's a Goyish name. Nobody Jewish is named Christopher. Shane Yisrael Nikraim Bosa Shemos. We don't call people Christopher because he's named after Yeshu. And therefore, no Yid is going to be called Christopher. Lav Hainu Mizuyev Misocho. Isn't this obviously clear that he's not a kosher aide and that nobody's going to mistakenly think that if Chris could sign on this get, he could also be the one to give it? The Moda, Rabbi Elazar, the Kuli Amma, Yadi Dovdi Kochomim. The Rabbi Elazar would certainly agree in this situation. There is no concern that he's going to be an Ede Mesira because he's clearly not Jewish. Below Osila Mismachalayu, below Ede Mesira. And therefore, they'll set up separate Ede Mesira. And that's why Rabbi Shimon says it's acceptable, even with the Rabbanan, for him to go and have Chris sign on the get because it's totally unnecessary and there's no Takala problem. Ede Mesira, Karsi, like Rabbi Elazar, and there's zero concern that Chris, who's a well-known Goyish name, is going to come and give the document as the Ede Mesira. So therefore, that's the machlokes between our Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Both agree with Rabbi Elazar that Ede Mesira Karsi. However, our Tanakama is concerned that if we allow Chris to sign on it, he may come to deliver it, and that would be a problem. And Rabbi Shimon is not concerned. He says his name is Chris. That is internally going to make sure that nobody ever lets him be the Ede Mesira. Finally, let's finish up to the Mishnah. Mara says, V'chazara d'oraisa. What about the idea that you can retract the get? If the woman didn't get the get, and you can retract it, that was a din d'oraisa, and shavu gite noshim l'shichruri avadim. So how come that was listed? So the Gemara says, Elo kiktani, you're right. The answer is, we only said milsa d'lesa b'kiddushin. We only said things that aren't included in kiddushin. However, milsa d'isa b'kiddushin loktani. Something that it was involving kiddushin as well, wasn't listed here. So we only listed things that are similar between Gitei Noshim and Shechuri Avadim that aren't applicable to marriage, such as Milsa D'Isa B'Kiddushin Loktani, something that is required by Kiddushin, wasn't listed here. So the dinim that it has to be talush, it has to be no longer attached to the ground when you're writing a get for either a woman or for the Eved, so that is also a din by Kiddushin. We learn out a hekish between Kiddushin, Havaya, and Gerushin. Krisus. So there is a connection between the two. The same dinim apply. That's why it wasn't listed, because it also applies by Kiddushin. So it only listed things that were not applicable to Kiddushin. So the fact that it must be written Lishma, and the fact that it must be Talush, that applies to Gittin as well, and that's why they were not included. The other things don't apply to Kiddushin. There is no din b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam, and there is no din that if a kusi signs on it, it's valid by gittin of an eved or of a woman, because it's not true. We don't allow a document to have the signatures on it to marry a woman that one of them be a kutsi. And we don't allow by gittin or by shikhur avadim that the document be signed by a goy shikot. But technically, a document of marriage, even though it's signed upon by a goyish court, by goyish witnesses, if it's mesira, if it's given over to the woman and she accepts this document of marriage, so technically that is a valid document of marriage. And the rabbis wouldn't say it's not a good marriage and that will postulate me the rabbanim because the woman is married on the deraisa level. And if the rabbis go and say, no, she's not married, so then we have a real problem because she's an ashes, she's deraisa. So therefore, in that situation, the rabbis didn't say their din. Finally, let's finish off till the end of the Gemara. For the Mishnah, v'chazara gufa isa b'kedushin, but there is a din of chazara by kedushin that if you give the marriage document to the shaliach and it didn't reach the woman, so she's not considered married. So why was that listed? So Gemara says b'shlichos baal karcha that the rabbis instituted something where it could be against her will. Technically, a woman on the deraisa level can be divorced against her will. The rabbis changed that and said a woman cannot be divorced against the will, but on the deraisa level, a get for shichru or a get of divorce can be against the person's will. The begerishin isa, that's true by gerishin. However, we can do unless you can't marry a woman against her will. So that's why there is a difference there. We only listed things that are similar between get that are bal karcha, and therefore that's why it didn't include by kedushin, which can never be bal karcha. With this, we conclude today's share.